Are you talking about the Filbrin calculator?
Thank you for that introduction. Like you said, my name's Tim Grant. I'm a research and extension assistant at the University of Tennessee working in irrigation. So sustainability is kind of a buzzword, especially in irrigated cotton production. So we took some of our cotton irrigation data from the last few years and input it into this Filbrin calculator tool. So I'm going to show you some results from that. The main question that was driving this and why we thought it was worthwhile to enter this data is how sustainable is cotton irrigation in our region? And we're in Tennessee, so in the mid-south or the southeast. We're irrigating cotton in a humid region, which can be a bit of a blessing but also a curse. We sometimes get abundant in-season rainfall, and sometimes it dries up and you wonder where the rainfall all went. So lots of in-season variability from year to year, and irrigation management varies according to that. You have droughts that can begin or end at any time, and then we also have pretty significant soil variability in places to deal with, which further complicates the issue. So I'm going to talk some about deficit irrigation in our trials, and what I mean by deficit irrigation in a humid region is basically that we don't want rainfall plus irrigation to be greater than total crop water use if you can avoid it. Another way of looking at it or thinking about it is looking at the soil moisture profile. And in our soil moisture profile, you can see where we come close to full irrigation, where we match crop water use or ET. We keep our soil moisture not saturated, but pretty close to full. And deficit irrigation, it can present itself in several different ways, but most often you'll have at least part of the soil profile where you're allowing that crop to mine soil moisture and use some of it. And so when we've more properly deficit irrigated, we see we keep soil moisture pretty adequate in the top part of the profile, but we allow that crop to mine the deeper soil moisture. So we're going to look at three of the metrics. I think the calculator puts out about 8 or 10 metrics of sustainability, but we're going to pick out three that we really alter with our inputs, and those are irrigation water use, which is given to us in an acre inches of irrigation per pound of lint produced. We're going to look at energy use, which is in BTUs per pound of lint produced. And energy use is basically affected directly by irrigation because of water pumping, but also just general crop management, how many times you have to travel across that field, fertilizing, spraying, anything like that, and then also transporting the crop after harvest. And then we're going to look at greenhouse gas emissions, which it gives to us in pounds of carbon dioxide emitted per pound of lint produced. And the greenhouse gas emission metric pretty much mirrors the energy use metric. And for all of these, you note the bottom I noted for each metric is that they improve as yield increases and water applied decreases. And that's really the drive home point of all of this. So the Filbrin calculator, some of you may be more familiar with the tool than I am, but it's an online tool from the Field to Market Alliance. It has some tabs when you enter a field. It has about 8 or 10 tabs from location and soils, information, crop management and rotation, planted acres and harvested acres. But basically, we did a pretty simple application of this tool. We made a template field that's pretty representative of a cotton field in Tennessee and went back and replicated that over and over. And the only things we really changed are our soil information inputs and then our irrigation. So when you go into crop rotation tab, you can say, was this crop irrigated? Was it not irrigated? If it was irrigated, what was your irrigated yield, your non-irrigated yield, and how much water did it take to get that? And so those are the only things we really varied. So the first data that we input into the calculator was some irrigation trial data from Jackson, the West Tennessee Research and Education Center. We had 5 years of irrigation initiation and rate data in Jackson, and these are some numbers from those 5 years. But really, just if you just look at the average numbers here, you can see we had three different soils in this field that we broke down into soil blocks. We had some really pretty sandy soils all the way up to deep silt loam soils, and then we had some intermediates that were usually a silt cap over sand at various depths. But if you look at our average rain-fed yields, it goes from about 500 pounds on average in the sandy soils, 1,000 pounds in the intermediate soils, all the way up to 1,400 pounds on average in our deep silt loam soils rain-fed. And then when I pulled out the deficit irrigated yield, we had about 7 irrigation treatments on these soils, and so each year we were able to retrospectively figure out which rate and initiation was our optimal deficit treatment. But with deficit irrigation each year, we were able to get 1,400 on average, 1,500 and 1,500 on each soil. So we were able to get the sandy soils yielding pretty well if you irrigated them appropriately. But if you look at the amount of irrigation that was required between these soils, you can see it took almost 7 inches on average each year in the sandy soils and only 1.5 inches on average in the deep silt loam soils. Now, we only had really 2 years, 11 and 12, out of this study that were drier than average, and those are the only 2 years that the silt loam soils even required supplemental irrigation to optimize yield. In our 3 wetter than average years in the deep silt loam soils, rain-fed was actually the optimal deficit irrigation treatment. So here's some results from the calculator from those irrigation trials. On these graphs, the red line are the sandy soils, yellow is our intermediate soils, and green are our silt loam soils. This first metric is irrigation water use. You can kind of think of it as an inverse of efficiency. It's acre inches of irrigation water used per pound of lint produced, so the lower, the better. And I've got 2 irrigation management schemes here. Our high irrigation management was just the highest rate that we put on those trials, and it probably could still be considered a deficit rate, but it's getting closer to matching crop water use. So I've got a high irrigation management rate and an optimal irrigation management scheme, which was our best deficit irrigation treatment. And you see, when we optimally irrigate, no matter the soil type, we get pretty good irrigation water use efficiency. But as we go to our high, where we're putting on probably too much water for each of these, it doesn't hurt you as bad in the sandy soil just because of how appreciative they are of water in general. But when you get up to your silt loam soils, we really start to decrease our efficiency of our water use. And that story really comes out when we look at energy use and greenhouse gas emissions. So looking at the silt and intermediate soils, you can see our rain-fed energy use is between 5 and 10,000 BTUs per pound of lint. As we put water on and we try to match crop water use, we put too much water on, we become less sustainable. We use more energy per pound of lint. We emit more carbon dioxide per pound of lint. But if you do a better job of irrigating and use the optimal deficit irrigation approach, we get those metrics back down to matching rain fed and come out with a higher yield. So you come out winning there. Now, when you look at the sandy soil, it really changes the story. The sandy rain fed energy use is between 20 and 25,000 BTUs per pound. Like I said, the sandy soils are pretty appreciative of water, and you don't really have to do that great of a job of irrigating. So if you put on just a lot of water trying to get these sandy soil yields up, you still really more than cut in half your energy use. And then if you do a better job of irrigating, optimally deficit irrigate the sandy soils, you even further refine and improve the metric of sustainability on those soils. So the next step of this was taking this to a producer field and saying, can we replicate these results under a producer's center pivot like we did on our small plot trials? And so this is a field that's in the Mississippi River bottoms of far west Tennessee. We've got significant soil textural variability in this field that pretty well matches what we had in Jackson. So you can see from this aerial image during the season, the green areas, you see crop canopy. The grayer areas are soil surface that you can still see. Well, those are the sandy areas of this field that usually typically have been low yielding areas. Okay, this is an EC map. You see the red on the EC really sticking out, and that's our sandy areas of the field. It also matches up with water holding capacity map of this field that we got from soil sampling. And so what we've worked with this producer on doing and really succeeded with for the first time this past year was implementing what we call a simple variable rate irrigation scheme. And really all we're getting him to do is take out angles of this pivot and say you can irrigate in these certain areas alone without irrigating the rest of the field, or as you irrigate the whole field, you could slow a pivot down over these sandy areas to apply more water. And so, like I said, in 2016 was the first year we actually implemented some of this, and we got a couple more early irrigations in this sandy, what we call a pie-shaped zone here in this field. So these are cotton yields from 2015 and 2016 in this field. Just looking at the yields in our sandy soils, In 2016, I've got some sandy soil outside the pivot where we can measure, get a good measurement of rain-fed sandy soil yield in this field, and that comes from this corner down here that's very sandy. And the average yield in that corner was 340 pounds. Okay, it kind of works out, for the producer not so much, but for us it works out that the sandy soils don't fit exactly right into these pie-shaped zones because we have some sandy soil over here outside that pie-shaped zone that we're able to see what happens because it's irrigated with the rest of the field, the more silty areas of the field. And so what I've called the sandy soil that's irrigated with the silt loams comes from this sandy area here. And you can see how just, even though it wasn't the best irrigation management for that sandy soil, just some irrigation really helps. You've got up to 750 pounds in that area. And in our sandy zone where we're able to get a couple more early irrigations on, we got up to 890 pounds this past year. So these are some soil moisture data from this field in 2016. Really all I want to point out to you here is the difference between the sandy zone irrigated as a sand and the sandy zone irrigated as a silt. You can see late in the season soil moisture looks pretty similar between these two. And where we got about that 150 pound difference in yield came from these early irrigations where we let it dry out a little bit in the silty zone, but where we managed it as a sand, we kind of nipped that in the bud and kept our soil moisture a little higher early in the season, and that's that 150 pound yield difference. So these data in the field print calculator we were pretty happy with. They pretty well reflect what we saw on our small plot trials. So we've got our three metrics, irrigation use efficiency, energy use, and greenhouse gas emissions. We've got our rain-fed sandy soils, we've got sand irrigated as a silt, and we have sand irrigated as a sand. If you look at our energy use, here we are again on rain-fed, up over 20,000 BTUs per pound of lint produced. When we irrigate it, not to the best of our ability, but get some irrigation on it, we more than cut it in half, take it down around 11,000 BTUs per pound. And when that sand was managed as a sand and got those couple early irrigations, we did even better on energy use and greenhouse gas emissions, becoming more sustainable. On our silt soils in this field, we really had no yield difference in this year under the pivot and outside the pivot. I think we only had the producer irrigate a couple times later in the season just because soil moisture started to get a little on the dry side, but it didn't result in any yield increase. So you see that irrigated resulted in slightly higher energy use than rain-fed and slightly higher greenhouse gas emissions. That's just because we did irrigate a couple times and did not see a yield benefit from that. But this was a wet year, and that's what we've seen in these silty soils before, is that we're often able to hold off irrigation for a long time or totally. So conclusions from this. It's a big question whether cotton irrigation is sustainable at all, and what we've shown is that if you appropriately irrigate, you know, depending on your soils and your year-to-year conditions, that not only can it maintain sustainability, but in a lot of cases it could improve sustainability of cotton growth. But it really depends on your soils. So in our sandy or low water holding capacity soils, they become more sustainable with irrigation in general. You don't even have to do that great of a job of irrigating. But if you do a very good job of irrigating, they can become quite sustainable. And then in our deep silt loam soils, it becomes much more important to do a good job of deficit irrigating, because if you don't do a good job, you can harm your sustainability metrics. So that's all I have. I'll take any questions or comments you may have. So the question is about nitrogen in the water systems on these sandy soils. This producer does not, that we talked about here, and on our small plot trials, we put out nitrogen similarly across all soils. It's just, it's applied in furrow in all our small plot trials. So no, we haven't done any of that. Now, we do have some producers that are putting nitrogen out in the irrigation systems, but not in this work. It's a Varus CC machine. Thank you, Tim. Thank you.